Jerry, great to talk to you, man. Hope things are going well.
Everything's going fine, Chris. I hope you're doing well. Getting ready to go to Rocky Top, huh?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. It's amazing when you've won seven in a row and the weather forecast is beautiful and you feel like you got a much better football team going in than the other side. How much you can be looking forward to that?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of scary. I've always been, you know, I'm just one of those guys that going into Knoxville it always bothered me. It bothered me as a player and a lot of times when we're on the sidelines, you know, we had a much better team. But Tennessee always plays well against Alabama, and I don't expect anything different. I know they got a bunch of young guys. I think they're playing a lot of freshmen. I watched them a little bit on TV a couple weeks ago, and I tell you, they're playing hard though. I think this guy, I think it's Jones.
Butch Jones.
I think this guy's really a good coach. I mean those guys, they play hard.
Is that the first thing you look at when you're trying to evaluate? I mean, or I guess everybody does, but I mean,
yeah, particularly when you have a bunch of young guys, because obviously they haven't had a great deal of success, so it'd be awful easy to, you know, if you're a freshman or a sophomore, you know, you got your head down and you're getting your tail beat just about every weekend, and it's awful easy to slack up a little bit. But I haven't seen anybody in those orange shirts slacking up, and I think that's a great sign. I think that's a great sign for the program. I don't want them to get too good, but I sure want to win eight in a row too.
You don't want them to get better, but you're afraid they might be.
That's exactly the way I assess it when I see them on TV. I think they're getting better every week, and he's got, like I said, he's got them playing hard, and that's all you can do that's all you can ask your kids to do. You know, you come up with a, you know, what you think is a good game plan, and you're facing a team like Alabama, who's obviously they've got a good football team. But you know, anything can happen. Anyway, I was tickled to death to beat Arkansas by one point myself, because I've been in those games when the ball didn't bounce the right way. You know, you know you had the best team, but you weren't playing well. You had some fumbles. You had, you know, interceptions, turnovers. You couldn't do anything right. And sometimes, you know, the time runs out on you. That happened to us over at Georgia, a long, long time ago. We felt like we had the best team, but we got beat 18-17. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
When you take a look at their offensive line issues, I mean, is that basically the core of everything with them? When you're that young and you're struggling that much along the offensive front, I won't say you have no hope, but you're constantly fighting uphill, aren't you?
Well, I think that you would be, particularly with our defensive front, who I think our guys are getting better every week. I really do, and I tell you that. Now they're playing hard too, and we've got some great talent along that front. With those linebackers are improving, and I just think that we can cause them an awful lot of problems. They do have offensive line problems, or they have in the games that I've seen on TV. They just haven't. You know, it's not the whole offensive line, but somebody, one play the tackle breaks down, and the next time it's the center, or you know, they miss an assignment, and it's just kind of, you can't blame it on one guy. It's a whole offensive line that seems to be struggling.
Jerry Duncan, our guest, of course, for 24 years, sideline reporter, Crimson Tide Sports Network, Alabama Sports Hall of Fame inductee, and one of the best at the University of Alabama. The Crimson Tide itself, I just think Jerry built so different from maybe the last 6 or 7 years in terms of experience, talent. But when you watch this team, what's jumping off the page at you?
Well, the first thing that's jumping off the page at me is our defensive front is getting better, and our linebackers are getting better. We've got those, and that's this number 26. I think it's Collins.
Yes, sir.
Man, now I'm gonna tell you, he is a player. He is a player. He just destroys people. I would not want to be a receiver having to come through that territory. But I mean, and I think he's a leader. I think. You know, in my opinion, he didn't play well against Mississippi, but you could probably say there were several of them that didn't play well against Mississippi. It's certainly not, you can't blame it on one person. But the problem, the thing about it, Chris, in a situation like that, all you can do is when you got a bunch of gifted kids that have got talent, you know, all you ask them to do is to improve and try to get better every week and come up with a good game plan. I have no question in my mind that our coaching staff are going to come up with a good game plan. And then you just turn them loose and let them go. And I think, you know, we've had those injuries across the offensive line. I think our center was out, and I know they took the red shirt off of a guy. I can't remember all these kids' names. I know Bozeman played some last week, and
right, he was the primary guy.
And then I think they took a red shirt off of a kid that played late in the game. So
they did.
I think that's a good move, because I don't know, is it Shepherd, Austin Shepherd?
He's been banged up, and they're hopeful that he's going to be able to go on Saturday.
When you have people that have played as much as he has, and an injury goes down, that obviously causes some problems. But it's a great opportunity for another kid to step up, and that's the reason it is so important for these guys, for everybody to be ready to play, because you never know when the guy that you're playing behind, you know, is going to go down, and you just got to be ready. And I think the kids that have stepped in there have done pretty well. And, you know, we had all those mistakes in the Arkansas game, and I certainly don't want to go back and relive the Arkansas game. But I guarantee you, from that experience, those kids learned a lot. They learned a lot of valuable lessons, and I'm sure a lot of those problems have been corrected.
When I look at the quarterback slot, I'm not so sure that Alabama's not getting better production than they anticipated, and they're obviously getting it from a guy that most of the fans didn't anticipate being the quarterback. I would imagine, as somebody who went through a lot in your career to wind up being a starter as you were later in your career, it you have a real appreciation for a guy like Blake Sims, who's kind of sat, waited his turn, done everything that's been asked of him, and now gets the opportunity and has certainly made the most of it.
He sure has. I'm so proud of that kid. I mean, he could have – it would have been awful easy several years ago just to hang it up. I mean, I think at one time they even moved him out to flanker.
Yeah.
And he played some flanker, and now here he is. And I tell you, he's an athlete, and you better not fool around with him, because he showed what he could do against Texas A&M. That's one of the best runs that I've seen anybody make, including all of our running backs. That touchdown run he made, that was exceptional for a quarterback.
Jerry Duncan, our guest, and all of our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. Jerry, inductee into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame a few years ago, and a part of those teams in the 60s, Jerry, where the Alabama-Tennessee rivalry was one of the most revered and respected nationally. In the last 25, 30 years, for whatever reason, I know there have been a couple of exceptions, but it seems like one team goes on a pretty extensive run in the rivalry, 5, 6, 7 years one way, 5, 6, 7 the other. Yeah. With, you know, I don't know why it's been that way, but it has. From your playing days, talk about why that game was so meaningful, why it was indeed so special.
Well, I'll tell you why it was special in the 60s and the 70s, because Coach Bryant couldn't stand Tennessee. That was, you know, everybody talks about the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, and it is no question about how ferocious it is, but back in those days, the Tennessee rivalry was right up there with Auburn. I mean, our practices, we went along, everything was fairly smooth. We did about the same thing, and all of a sudden, the Tennessee week comes along, and we go out on the field. Schnellenberger, Howard Schnellenberger, was in charge of the Tennessee game my junior year, and we practiced. We came off the victory on Saturday night, came back to Tuscaloosa, started practicing Sunday for Tennessee, and I mean, everything changed. The speed picked up, the hitting picked up, and it was just because most of those coaches back then had, you know, they had been with Coach Bryant. Some of them, well, Howard had been with him at Kentucky, and even when Coach Bryant was at Kentucky and won the only Southeastern Conference championship that Kentucky ever won, they still did not beat Tennessee. They tied 3-3 that year. That's when General Nayland was at Tennessee. So, I mean, the rivalry, it was ferocious. And then And then my, you know, my sophomore year, we go up there and beat them. That was when Joe Namath was a quarterback. 65, we come down here, we got the best team, and we go out here to Legion Field, fumble the ball three times inside the 10-yard line going in, made all kinds of mistakes. Stabler threw the ball out of bounds on fourth down to stop the clock. You know, we lined up to kick a field goal. Everything went wrong. So we ended up tying them 7-7. And then, you know, the great game is, you know, in 66 when we go back up there and we're down 10-0 at the half, and it rained all night, all day, and all during the game. And it was just we dug ourselves a hole, and then come back and beat them 11-10. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff just fed on itself. And then Coach Bryant went through that period up there in 69, 70, when we had those 6-5 seasons. And I think Bill Battle was actually the coach there in all the way 69 or 70, and he beat Coach Bryant the first game.
Right.
I believe that would have been 69. And then Coach Bryant, you know, of course, I said that's when they started that run where they won 9 or 10 in a row, which ended up, let's see, I believe that's right.
Yes, sir. I think you're right.
I know we won a bunch of them in there. And then, of course, you know, then it swung back the other way. And you're right, though. It has been a series where you've had some long runs of teams winning successive games, but I don't know. There's just something about Tennessee that it makes my blood boil. I don't know. I guess it's going back to all those years with Coach Bryant and knowing how he felt about them. We were never treated very well when we were in Knoxville. It was it was a pretty hostile crowd, which is fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I'm just mighty proud of this Alabama team, and if they'll go up there and do their business like they're supposed to, then we'll have Saturday we'll be celebrating 8 in a row.
Hey, let me ask you, because you mentioned that about Coach Bryant and hostile territory. Was there not somewhere Coach went and during either his pregame walkthrough or at some point he wore a helmet?
Oh, yeah, that was it. That was my sophomore year. What had happened was, so that would have been 64. So in 62... at Georgia Tech at Grant Field, they were playing Georgia Tech. That, if I recall right, Chris, that would have been 62. That was my first. I think that's the only game we lost. I believe we lost that game 7-6. And that's when the back in the old days, I don't know how it is now, but at Grant Field, the student body was right down on top of you, and they always put it right behind the visitors' bench. And in 62, after the game was over, they started throwing whiskey bottles at the team, and I think actually Coach Bryant got hit by a bottle. So when we went back over there in 64, we're getting ready to come in, and we're getting ready to go out on the field to make our just pregame walk around the field. Well, the student section was all the Grant Georgia Tech student body was already there. You know, all of back in those days, all those student bodies, they got in there early because I think really mainly to see Coach Bryant.
Right,
and so they didn't really come to see Jerry Duncan, but anyway, so we're getting ready to walk out on the field, and he said, "Wait a minute!" He got about two steps out on the field and went back to the dressing room and got a helmet, and he put this football helmet on and he wore it all the way around the field.
Oh, so good.
Matter of fact, I've got a picture of it.
I knew I had seen it, and I couldn't remember where it was. I was just that was all the lead up. You think Lane Kiffin's gonna need one Saturday? Is he in good shape?
It might be a good idea for Lane to have one small stuff up in Reef. Lane will be fine. He's gonna do good. It's just Alabama, Tennessee, and I love it. I really can't wait for it to get here. I'm gonna be watching it on TV, so I'll be looking for you too, buddy.
I won't have a helmet on, but I'll be steering clear of everybody and everything.
Well, Jerry, tell Eli and everybody hello for me. Okay,
I'll do it. Hey, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time, Jerry Duncan.
Absolutely, man.